Oral Testament lesson for the second Sunday in Lent comes from Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, that I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh, at the time that the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on to the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson comes from Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteous apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. From the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations," in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord. Continue with him that I'm in the day number 531.
Thank you.
rise for the reading of the gospel. The gospel comes to us from John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And you may be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not sure if this is blasphemy, but I think God is having fun poking holes in our conceptions of control. Planes are not supposed to go missing. Yet a week after the disappearance of a Boeing 777, the Dreamliner, the Titanic of jets, we are still searching for a clue. The last I heard is that it kept flying for 7 hours after the last clear contact. We have airport control, air traffic control, civil air command and military air command, system after system of control, and a jet is still missing, along with the almost 300 people on it. Our nations and our alliances think that other than maybe in Africa, our national borders are in control. Yet there are mirror situations that challenge those borders in the two major nuclear powers. Russia ignores border control to assert protection of fellow Russian language speakers, which just happens to coincide with other things they would like to control, like warm water ports and gas pipelines. The U.S. government, in the face of a populace, which the majority wishes it would protect the borders of English-speaking people, enforces strict control at the Canadian border, but not so much at the Mexican. After promising control, if you like your doctor, you can keep him, or you can keep her, the president quietly admits on WebMD that, hey, you might not actually have that control. And the best construction on it is that the president believed it. He believed the whiz kids and the crap consultants could take over through regulation a sixth of the economy and finally exercise control for the people. And it doesn't have to be big systematic things. It can be personal things, We don't really control our health. We can be enjoying life 1 minute and 2 weeks later be dead of undiscovered cancer. We can go to college for one specific thing because it's the hot job and graduate into a recession that has killed the industry you were controlling your education for. The pill and every form of contraception promises control of fertility. Yet if the surveys are to be believed, 51% of pregnancies are a surprise. And those who most want to have a child seem to have the least control, rolling the dice on in vitro fertilization techniques. And these, at least on the surface, are all physical things. We have sciences dedicated to studying and explaining how we can control all of these, from airplanes to diplomacy to medicine. And in the face of our lack of control of even the physical, somehow, a growing number of us think it is a good idea to be spiritual but not religious, which is saying, thanks, but no thanks. I've got this spirit thing under control. Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a ruler. You don't get more firmly placed in the in-control group than that description. The Pharisees were a movement of common lay people seeking control over the spiritual life through a strict exercise of the law. And rulers in those days knew about control. Nicodemus has seen what Jesus is doing. And I don't think it takes that large of a stretch of imagination to fill in the gaps that he's reaching out to Jesus to see if the wonder worker can be controlled. He comes to Jesus at night. Now at the time, it might just have been that type of mission. Go get a private reading of the man, his group of elders advised him. But things in the Gospel of John always have layers. The man who thinks he has control is actually stumbling in the dark. Rabbi, we know. Not I, but we. And we know. Not a shadow of doubt or wonder at the miraculous acts. We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. We know. Because if we don't, we aren't in control. We've seen and we know what you, Jesus, are about. And Jesus answers him, Amen, amen. Truly, truly, I tell you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You think you've seen and know and can control this. Nicodemus, you're stabbing in the dark. But God does not leave us in the dark. As John's prologue would proclaim, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Nicodemus takes Jesus' statement physically. Stop being absurd, Jesus. How can a man enter into his mother's womb again? This is when we, trying to control our own salvation. Come on, Jesus, just tell me what I have to do. What law do I follow? How do I control this? But that's exactly what we can't do. We can't control it. You can't control grace. It's only refused or accepted. Which is what Jesus tries to redirect Nicodemus toward. Truly, truly, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom is not about what you do, but about what God does in you. If we are looking with purely physical eyes, if I'm only thinking about the law or nature, that makes absolutely no sense. It's so much wind blowing in the trees. But God has attached His words to that water. And in those baptismal waters, God places His Spirit to dwell within us. The grace of God dwells within us and enlightens our path and invites us to see the kingdom that is in our midst. And when God dwells within, our lives are no longer ours to strictly control. The ways of the flesh are left behind. You've been born again of the Spirit. Now, it's not exactly fair for poor Nicodemus. We have the advantage of hindsight over Nick, but he's still not really tracking. How can these things be? But Jesus has the greatest mystery yet to reveal. One more, truly, truly. And this one reveals the reversal. Nicodemus arrived knowing and seeing. And Jesus has been pointing out how blind he is. But now Jesus testifies about himself. Truly, truly, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. But you do not receive our testimony. And unless you receive that testimony, unless you receive the grace and the Spirit, you will never be able to see the work of God. As Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. The eternal Son of God, the co-equal with the Father, has come down very near to you. The Spirit of God is resident in the flesh, resident to witness to the love of the Father. And the work of that incarnate Son is to die on the cross. God did not exercise control. God came to give it all away. No more divine warrior, but the divine sacrifice. No more counting of sins, but the death of sin. He experienced death that we might have life. He gave His life, submitted humbly, that we might have the light. And we don't control it. It just is. That cross stands across the wreckage of sin-scarred time. Here is the cure. Here is the life. Here is the kingdom in our midst. That one, the crucified one, is the King. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. We don't get to control it. We can only receive Him. And we receive Him by believing Him, which confronts our natural pride and our desire for control. We want control and not submission. We want work and not grace. We want the glory and not the cross. We want to be spiritual on our terms, not on His. But the Father chose to work by Jesus. We are saved through His work. We have light because of His life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. His word and His sacraments create and sustain us. His church, of which He remains the head, is the witness that Satan will not destroy. Do we want control, or do we want life? Do we see in the light, or do we prefer the darkness? Amen.